Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out. Indecision. Overthinking. Second-guessing every choice you make. In. Plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out. Beige on beige on beige. Ugh. In. Knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
I've been working with a nurse dietitian for the last 6 months, and it's been life-changing. I've lost weight, healed my relationship with food, and have way more energy. Working with a dietitian online to create a personalized nutrition plan was so easy thanks to Nourish. The best part? I pay $0 out of pocket because Nourish accepts hundreds of insurance plans. 94% of patients pay $0 out of pocket. Find your dietitian at usenourish.com. That's usenourish.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
All right, vacation's over. We're back to it today. Not that anybody was on vacation. And I think a lot of people actually may be with spring break this week, but we're not. Session underway. Tariffs continue. We'll talk about it all in a moment. Highs today of 81, nothing but sunshine. Same thing tomorrow, but 78 for a high. Wednesday, 76. Looking ahead to the Easter weekend, highs Thursday of 81. Friday, a lot of people boiling crawfish, etc. 84. Saturday, 84. Sunday, 82 with maybe some clouds, but dry all the way until then. Right now, we're looking at 61 degrees, feeling pretty good outside, and we're talking about tariffs, because whether you agree with them, whether you disagree with them, whether you're confused, they are going to affect your life one way or the other. And we're joined by our friend Prashant Yadav, the healthcare supply chain expert at the Council on Foreign Relations. Good morning, Prashant. How are you?
I'm doing well, Tommy. Thanks for bringing up important issues for your audience and listeners on healthcare.
Well, thank you. We have not yet talked about tariffs in terms of prescription drug medicines, but I got to believe that there's going to be, I don't know, Prashant, where we stand with tariffs. And I think if anybody does, they're kidding themselves. I don't know exactly where we stand exactly with anything with countries. Take me from the get-go with supply chains and prescription drugs and all that stuff vis-a-vis tariffs.
Yeah, thanks. So I think we've got to keep in mind that, you know, we should categorize medicines into two broad categories. Things which are manufactured right here in the United States, these are medicines which are usually higher-end, cell and gene therapy, high-end oncology products, things which are somewhat latest and novel therapeutics. They are manufactured here in the U.S., so they will not be impacted by tariffs to a large degree, with the exception that some of them, for reasons that pharmaceutical companies choose to have a single production plant in the EU or in Ireland, some might have an impact of tariffs on the EU. The second category of medicines are what we call as the more established generic medicines, such as the antibiotic you take when you have a bacterial infection or a hospital-based injectable product, like a more established oncology medicine for cancer. Those are the things that come to the U.S. largely from India, and some of the ingredients into manufacturing them come from China. That's where the impact of tariffs will be large, and potential tariffs on that will mean both changes in prices, which either the insurer or in some cases patients themselves have to pay, and more importantly, it creates the risk of supply disruption, which means because of the uncertainty in the tariffs, there might be situations where the importing organization or the wholesaler may just not be able to get the right amount of stock in time, or the companies that manufacture it may not know what tariff to apply, so they may not send the shipment on time. Those are risks that are pending. We will know more as things evolve, but that's just the top line, I would say.
What, Prashant, if you could give us some not the generic names of medicines, please, and I don't want to confuse this by you giving me brand names when it turns out to be the generic that you're talking about, but, you know, the doctor sometimes will ask what medicine, and they give me the generic, and I can't even pronounce what the hell is on the label, so I don't know what it is, but can you give me maybe some brand names that aren't brand names anymore that are generics that could be affected that are made in India, et cetera?
So let's take simple ones. So Amoxicillin 500 or Amoxicillin Clavulanate 650, these are medicines that, you know, if your child is sick, you go to a pediatrician's office and they have a bacterial infection, that's what you will get prescribed. Or heparin, which is a common blood thinner. Most people who are at risk of stroke would take heparin. Right? Those are two medicines which are mainstream use, and a large percentage of those are manufactured in India or in China, or the active ingredient to manufacture them, even in the U.S., comes from China.
Professor, you know, I'm going to read the text here. It's not me. It's somebody that texted in, and I just want you to address, you know, I like to surface objections here because you don't know what people think, and sometimes maybe they don't express themselves the best, but it says, why do those two come from third world countries? Those are two of the dirtiest in the world. I don't know where you want to start on that, but go ahead.
Yeah, so I think we've got to go back and ask the question, where did we start this offshoring business where such a large proportion of our medicine supply comes from India and China, and what were the factors behind it? So I think there is a combination of factors, one of which also includes the fact that production of some of these medicines is environmentally not that clean. And our environmental laws are strict, and they are designed to ensure
Let me stop here a second. So while I think the texter was talking about the medical factories being not clean, what you're saying is the production of the medicine themselves is not environmentally friendly, and environmental regulations led to those being produced offshore. Is that what you're saying?
To some degree, yes. There are a multitude of factors, one of which is the fact that the production is not environmentally clean. So they are being produced in places where this could be done. Now, that doesn't mean that the production will remain environmentally unclean throughout. I mean, if we invest, we implying the government invests money in new production technology that can make the process of manufacturing cleaner at the same cost, then we can make them right here in the U.S. without having to worry about the effluent or the quality of environmental degradation or any of those reasons. So, but those investments have not happened. That's where we need to focus a lot more than assuming that tariffs will bring back that production to the U.S.
There are
questions about quality that come up. Every time you ask the question, we are buying such a large proportion of our medicines from India and China. There are genuine quality concerns. That doesn't mean every single company that's exporting medicines produces poor quality, but there's always some bad apples in the business.
So when it comes to medicine being produced in India or China, who's regulating that?
If they are coming to
the
U.S.,
they
are regulated by the U.S. Food and Drug Administration. Their inspectors go and visit their sites. But given that the manufacturers are located overseas, sometimes it's not that simple and straightforward for an FDA inspector to visit a site that is overseas as compared to a site that's located within the United States. But the regulation is done by the U.S. FDA.
All right, let me take a break. We'll pick it up. We come back talking to Prashant Yadav, a healthcare supply chain expert at the Council on Foreign Relations, our friend who helps when we get confused about things, and now we're confused about tariffs and prescription medicine. 621 traffic now, WWL. All right, 626, Tommy Tucker, WWL, talking to Prashant Yadav, healthcare supply chain expert at the Council on Foreign Relations, about the possible effect of tariffs. Prashant, somebody texted him about these weight loss drugs, which is a good question because I take them myself, and I've lost about 100 pounds, and I'm down 154 from 235. I don't want this stuff to go away. Where does the production of that stuff stand? Is there generic versions or compound versions being brought in from outside the United States? Is the brand name being made here? Walk me through that, if you would, please.
There are three types of products for anti-obesity, the GLP-1s that have become available in the last few years. One is from Lilly, which is manufactured in the United States. The other one is Ozempic from a company called Novo Nordisk in Denmark. A significant portion of their production happens in the EU, and then it comes to the US. And then because we've not had ample supply of these two drugs, compounding pharmacies across the country have been compounding the drug, for which the API once again comes either from the US or from the EU. So that's the structure. Now, if tariffs do come for product coming in, pharmaceuticals coming into the US from the EU, then at least for the portion that comes from one of those drugs will have an impact. How much we can't say. Pricing for pharmaceuticals is designed based on tax optimization, lots of other things, but it will have an impact. The one that comes from Lilly is manufactured domestically, so that wouldn't should not have an impact. And same thing for the ones that are compounded by pharmacies locally, it should have a relatively modest, if any, impact.
Are these drugs, do they import the raw ingredients from China, and do people compound them here, Prashant, do you know?
Not for the GLP-1s, but for many other drugs, we do have. So heparin is one example. That's a blood thinner. A large number of people in the U.S. are on a blood thinner, which is heparin. Now, even if it's manufactured by a company here in the U.S., its active ingredient comes from China because it's made it's using animal tissue, and we don't have that production happening in the U.S. at the moment. So a significant, I would say, about 60-70% of that active ingredients comes from China.
Somebody texted in, Prashant, and it says, get the manufacturing of our drugs back to America. Damn the freaking costs. That's a nice thought, but a lot of people can't afford drugs.
This season, a new hot deal has arrived at Metro. $25 a line for 4 lines with all the data you need and 4 free Samsung Galaxy A15 5G phones. Getting Metro's best deals is easy. No ID required, no activation fees. Get a new number or keep your own. It's up to you. That's 4 lines for $25 a line plus 4 free phones. Visit a store or go online today. Only at Metro by T-Mobile.
When you join Metro Plus Tax, for a limited time and subject to change. Max one offer per account.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today with
Zoe. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
That are already made here, right?
There are two things in play. One is cost, and the other is timelines to do it, right? So, I mean, absolutely, for the most critical medicines, we should have supply resilience. We should have manufacturing within the U.S. so that in times of need, we don't have to rely on a foreign partner. But the timelines to make that production happen are 3 to 5 years, sometimes even longer, to set up a new plant. And the second is we can't do it for every single medicine. We've got to make sure it is for the most critical medicines, right? And that will ensure that we take our costs that are going to go up and only apply that to the most critical ones, not across the board. Right? So those are two things to keep in mind. One is the timelines for bringing production, setting up a factory are relatively long. A pharmaceutical plant typically takes between 3 to 5 years, sometimes longer. And the second is we've got to focus on critical medicines where our dependency is the highest and they are the most acute ones, versus saying we can do this across the board for every single medicine.
I know we have 30 seconds left. They're going to get mad at me for asking a question, but I have to. And that is, what can we as consumers anticipate in the next 6 months?
Some modest price increases in case the tariffs on pharmaceuticals do come on board. There will be some price increases, may not be very large, but some modest price increases. And the second is, in some select cases, unless it is managed carefully by all the parties involved, which is the manufacturers, the importing entities, the distributors, and the government, there might even be some supply disruptions.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate your time. Prashant Yadav, healthcare supply chain expert of the Council on Foreign Relations. The legislative session gavels in at noon. We'll talk to Jeremy Alford, editor and publisher of La Politics Weekly, when we come back. Right now, time for WWL First News. 6:44, 16 till 7. Here we go, man. It's going to get started at noon. The session gavels in. Who better to join us to discuss than Jeremy Alford, editor and publisher of La Politics Weekly. How you doing, Jeremy?
Hey, Tommy. Good. Good to hear from you.
Good to talk to you. This is like, for people that are political junkies, this is like the start of the NFL season in a way, right?
It's prime time, baby. That's right.
Tell me.
Happens once a year.
Yes, sir. Tell me what, first of all, about the session itself. It is a fiscal session, right?
That's right. This is our regular session that is held annually in Baton Rouge. What's unique about this year is that it's an odd-numbered year, and that means it's a fiscal year, so taxes are going to be on the table. And there are kind of three pots of policy issues to track in this session, beginning with taxes. Lawmakers can only propose taxes every other year. Of course, the governor and the legislature pushed a constitutional amendment to rewrite the taxation portion of the Constitution that failed. So we're going to see lawmakers trying to put some of these issues back on the ballot again and try to get voters to take another look at certain areas, possibly income taxes, sales taxes, a couple of different things. There's also the budget, Tommy. That's something we do every single year. This year it's kind of sketchy looking right now. There's a lot of cuts coming down from the federal government. Even worse, though, Tommy, we don't know what those cuts are going to look like. So lawmakers are scrambling to find money for everything, including teacher pay raises, which was part of that amendment that failed. So there's not a lot of talk about cuts to higher ed and education right now, higher ed and healthcare. But that's something to keep an eye on. And finally, Tommy, there's this kind of a potpourri category. It is a regular session, so pretty much anything can come up. There's going to be a lot of education issues, a handful of insurance issues, auto insurance, as well as the dreaded tort reform issue. There's going to be a big push to reorganize DOTD, which is our agency that oversees kind of roads and bridges, and kind of a wild card unexpectedly is health, is kind of health generally, kind of piggybacking on some of the initiatives that we've seen from Robert F. Kennedy Jr., Donald Trump's health secretary. He may very well make an appearance during session, Tommy, to look at a couple of different issues involving sugary sodas and highly manufactured foods.
Now, he took a big step back when it came to the measles vaccine. Does that affect any of this, Jeremy, or not?
We're going to have to see. You know, vaccines have become a perennial issue at the Capitol, whether it's a substantive issue to be debated or maybe just a resolution. So I imagine we'll be hearing about it.
You know, you got the science of it and you got the politics of it. And a lot of people politically were not happy with RFK Jr. taking a back step. I'm sure I was saying when we spoke to, I forgot who it was last week, Dr. Corey Hebert, that I would think Bill Cassidy was one of the people who said, thank you, Jesus, that RFK Jr. changed his view on the measles vaccine, because Bill Cassidy is a physician and kind of went out on a limb to vote for his confirmation, right?
Yeah. But I think in terms of the regular session and what's going on in Baton Rouge, right now it doesn't seem like Robert F. Kennedy Jr. is connected to any kind of policies, proposed policies related to vaccines. Right now he is just connected to a nutrition bill that's being authored by Senator Patrick McMath.
Is that the one about sodas for people on food stamps? Or is
it
not?
It definitely deals with sugary soft drinks and using federal food aid, like you're saying, to purchase them. So, yes, that is part of it.
No more
also looks
stamps.
At ultra-processed foods and some other things as well.
So when it comes to, you look, healthy foods and food stamps and I don't know what else. I don't know if there's any cultural issues that are going to come on up. Are there any? You know, any? Are we doing any culture wars this session or not?
Well, I'm sure there will be. There typically is. You know, abortion is a good example. That's some, one area. It feels like every session, there's nowhere else to go with it. But we tend to have those bills. So, yeah, I think transgender related policy issues will probably surface as well if history has been any indication.
So with all that being said, and we can take a break here, pick it up, we come back, as a member of Louisiana, you know, Louisianian, I don't care about any of that. You know what I care about? I care about the outrageous car insurance that I'm paying, and I care about the outrageous house insurance that I'm paying, and I think most Louisianians feel that way, and I'll ask them on the Oakland Jeweler Talk and text line 504-260-1870. What is it that you want to see the legislature address this season? Because for me, it's insurance, insurance, and insurance, both on the automotive side and the residential side. I do need to tell you that message and data rates apply. Don't text and drive, and whatever else legally I should tell you. 650, 10 till 7, traffic now, WWL. All right, 6:55, 5 till 7. Session gavels in at noon today. Jeremy Alford is our guest, the editor and publisher of La Politics Weekly. Jeremy, when it comes to, I'm going to ask you a big, long question here, and then you can jump in. It all goes to political capital and a governor and amendment, the constitutional amendments failing as they did. When it comes to trial lawyers, when it comes to the Gator Scholarship Program, I see a story here from the Illuminator that Louisiana legislature's leadership said that they're likely to eliminate funding for his Gator program because they got to pay the teachers in public school, find a way to pay them their raise. How much, comparing, I guess, and contrasting the governor's political power with what he had last session, big drop off, what? Jump in where you feel comfortable in all of that and the likelihood of any real insurance reform.
You know, there's this conversation about Jeff Landry and the power he wields, and if that's changed any because this constitutional amendment failed. I would argue, Tommy, that his sway over the Capitol and influence among the general public hasn't changed at all. Mm-hmm. One of the hardest things to do in Louisiana politics, hands down, is change the Constitution. Huey Long, at the peak of his power, couldn't do it. Earl Long tried, Buddy Rumor tried, now Jeff Landry has tried. And I don't think that takes anything away from Jeff Landry. I think he goes into this session just as powerful as he was last year.
So what about the trial attorney thing and the auto insurance and the governor looking for a hybrid and Tim Temple, the feud, well, I don't say feud, disagreement with him. I'm going to talk to Tim Temple later on. Tell me how you see that shaking out.
Yeah, we're going to see. You know, Governor Landry has a very positive working relationship with the trial bar. We haven't seen a Republican governor have that kind of a relationship since Bobby Jindal, whereas the legislature has kind of a frosty relationship with the trial bar, particularly Republicans who do have the majority. So Governor Landry right now is trying to forge some type of compromise on auto insurance rates, and also what others are describing as tort reform, meaning how insurance companies and plaintiff's attorneys engage in the courtrooms. And it's a very heated issue, Tommy. As you know, a lot of money gets spent on both sides of that. That will be a true test of the governor's leadership and influence.
Yeah, a lot of money gets spent, Jeff, when it comes to trial attorneys. And I was just thinking, watching the news the other day and frankly, listening here on WWL, they spend a lot of money on advertising. you know what I'm saying? And I got to believe that is going to have some kind of say in this as well, because if that goes away, I don't know that advertising is going to go away. It can't, I don't think, with the Supreme Court ruling. But if that goes away, or somehow the need for them to advertise goes away, that's going to have effects down the line as well, right?
Yeah, and you know, they most certainly will be able to adapt. It's not going to change in industry overnight. But you know, not only are they spending money on advertising, they're going to be spending money on lobbyists and government relations as well, and that's going to be one of the noisiest issues of the session, probably.
Yeah, I think I heard what you said just now. I'm not going to repeat it, but I think I heard what you said. Real quick, when it comes to the Tim Temple-Jeff Landry relationship, Tim Temple is an elected official. Does he stand his ground with the politics of all of this?
We'll have to see. You know, he wasn't included in that big release last week on insurance legislation, but I know he has his own legislative package he'll be pushing as well.
Well, he's going to join. Thank you, Jeremy Alford. We'll talk to you throughout the session. Your expertise and wisdom is greatly appreciated, as is your time. Jeremy Alford, editor and publisher of La Politics Weekly. We will talk to Tim Temple when we come back. Louisiana Insurance Commissioner, one of the hottest topics of the legislative session and a thing that I care about most. Car insurance, I got a renewal for one of the vehicles yesterday, and auto insurance. and home insurance, rather. So give me a text, 504-260-1870. Don't text and drive. Text data and message rates may apply.